Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you today. My name's Iggy. I'm one of the pastors here at CPE Church, and what a delight to celebrate Easter Sunday with you today, and a warm welcome to you. If it's your first time with us or you're a returning visitor, you don't come regularly, but you come visit us occasionally, it's wonderful to see you, and thank you for choosing to be with us this Sunday. Now, as we think about life, we all want to live a blessed life, don't we? Who doesn't want a blessed life? And here in Australia, there's so many good opportunities. There's so many good opportunities to have the good life, to get that good job with a good salary that we've always wanted, to have a nice home, to start a family and have a wonderful little life. There's lots of great opportunities as we live here in Australia. And some of us are lucky enough to have actually found that already. So we desire that, but some of us have already found that. But I actually think that if you dig a little bit beneath the surface, if you actually go a little bit deeper, that you'll find beneath all the success, beneath the good life, beneath the blessings, you'll find there's actually a lot of anxiety, isn't there? A lot of anxiety, even for those who have found what they believe to be the good life. Think about it. There's career pressure, right? Career pressure. So there's some students here, you're studying hard, you're working hard because you're trying to get into a good uni, or you're in uni right now, you're studying hard because you need that good mark, you need that degree to get that good job with a good salary. Some of us have already gone past that stage and we do have the good job with the good salary and we've worked hard to get there. But the higher you climb, the more pressure you feel. You think to yourself, am I keeping up? The industry keeps changing. There's AI now. A robot might take your job. You don't know. There's all this stuff going. There's more competition. All the young grads coming through. You're always performing. You're always trying to make sure you're getting ahead. Always trying to prove yourself. That's career pressure. There's financial instability as well. This is a big one, isn't there? Think about it. So now you own a home, or at least the bank does. Yeah. Interest rates keep fluctuating. Investments keep going up and down. The cost of living keeps increasing all the time. It just keeps going up and up. And even with a six-figure salary, it might not seem like it's enough nowadays. A few bad turns and everything you have could just unravel. Who knows what will happen? And how about parents? Let me talk to you. Parenting worries. I think those two words go very closely hand in hand. Parenting worries. You want to give your kids the best future, right? The best schools, extracurricular activities, you want to give them all the opportunities and options because you love them, right? But deep down you wonder, am I doing enough? Am I actually doing enough? And you see kids today, you see they're growing up. There's more anxiety than ever before in kids today. The impact of social media, mental health issues on the rise, the uncertainty of the world that they're growing up in. How do you prepare them for a future you can't control? Relationship worries. Maybe you feel incomplete. You're here, that's how you feel, because you're not with someone. You don't have that special someone. You worry if you'll ever find that someone, or you are with someone. You're married, but it's a struggle. It's a challenge. And you wonder, how do I make this relationship work, or can I make it work? And then there's just global uncertainty, right? You switch on the news nowadays, and it seems like the world is threatening to fall apart at any given point. It feels so unstable, doesn't it? Wars, economic uncertainty, tariffs, climate concerns, news headlines. Every day there's a new crisis. It's shifting from crisis to crisis. And even though you have everything you need today, how about tomorrow? What's going to happen in this world? If you actually stop and think about it, whether you have your life all together right now or whether you'd say your life is a bit of a hot mess right now, there's plenty of things to potentially worry about, isn't there? And we tell ourselves, this is what we do. We'll just work harder, right? We'll work harder. We'll plan better. We'll save more. We'll get ahead of the curve. Everything will be fine because the more I take control, the more I can get rid of this anxiety. I wonder how many of us live with that mindset. I know for myself, that's oftentimes what I'm thinking. But here's the problem. A life that's lived like that is a life that is driven by anxiety, with anxiety and worry as the boss. Yeah, that every decision is made to try to lessen that. That dominates everything. And this is actually a life that's driven by fear. A life driven by fear. And the thing is, that's just absolutely exhausting. It's exhausting. Wouldn't you rather live a life of deep peace, rather than one of overwhelming anxiety. Well, friends, today I want to share with you that you can. You can. I want to share with you the Easter story, the greatest story in history. And you might be thinking, what does Easter have to do with all of this? I want to tell you that the very first Easter was a morning that was filled with immense fear, immense anxiety, immense worry. And the thing that changed everything was Jesus Christ. I want to show you today that when Jesus Christ says to us, do not be afraid, he means it. I want to show you why. Let me take you back through the first Easter morning. And I'm going to walk you through this story. It'll be coming up on the screen. You can look at it in your Bibles as well. Let me read to you. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, which was a day of rest for the Jewish people, at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. I want you to note something here as we stop. These women, these followers of Jesus Christ, these women, they would have been terrified, absolutely terrified. What's just happened is that 3 days earlier, their teacher, their Lord, their Messiah, the one that they're following, Jesus Christ, has just been brutally executed by the Roman authorities, brutally executed, crucified on a cross, dying a criminal's death, even though he was an innocent man. And what's happened is actually all the disciples have scattered. They've gone into hiding because they're terrified that they're going to be next, that they're going to be the ones captured. But it's these faithful women, these two faithful women that come out of hiding, they don't let fear dictate their lives. They come to honor Jesus. This is an amazing thing. Look what happens next, verse 2. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, this was a genuinely terrifying event, an angel of the Lord being in your presence. You think about this, the guards that were at the tomb, they were Roman soldiers, hardened veterans of war. They were killers, but they were completely terrified. They shook and they became like dead men. That's what the scriptures tell us. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Now, why did the angel say, "Do not be afraid"? Well, let me explain. You know, TV shows have got us thinking that angels look something like this, right? Like chubby little babies with, like, you know, harps and sitting on clouds and things like that. Let me tell you, this is not what a biblical angel looks like, all right? A biblical angel is terrifying, absolutely terrifying. The descriptions that they have in this passage, do you see what it said? His appearance was like lightning, all right? You can't even look at him because of how bright and glorious he is. Other descriptions in the Bible tell us about how angels they was full of eyes and wings all over their bodies. It's terrifying. I'm not going to show you a picture because it's stuff of nightmares. I don't want to show you that. You can Google it later, or maybe don't. Don't do that. Whenever people are in the presence of angels in the Bible, do you know what they do? They fall down as if dead. That's how terrifying it is to be in the presence of an angel. But the angel says here, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Let me tell you why. It's because something has happened that is far greater than even the most terrifying thing that you could ever encounter. Something bigger and more earth-shattering than even being in the presence of a holy messenger of God. And it is this, that Jesus Christ has risen. Jesus Christ has risen. And as the women, they take in this news, the scriptures tell us that they run away. They run away from the tomb, afraid, still afraid, but filled with joy, this weird mix of emotions. You can probably understand that considering what's just happened. They must have been wondering, is this really true? Is this possible? What does this mean? How can this be? But all doubts are gone when they meet their Lord Jesus face to face. He appears before them. In verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." There's those words again. "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The women, they meet Jesus, and they fall down on their feet. They fall down at his feet, and they hold his feet and they worship him. They worship him. Imagine how they were feeling. Here they are standing in the presence of a man that they watched die just 3 days earlier. He's risen from the dead. This is a man that has overcome the most inevitable thing for humans, death. No one can defeat death. No one can beat death. No, none of us can. No one can beat death except for Jesus Christ. No one has until now. These women must have been in shock. It doesn't tell you what they said because I doubt they could say anything. The only thing they could do was fall down and worship, a right and appropriate response to one who has just risen from the grave. Just think about it. They were standing now in the presence of divinity, the risen King, Jesus Christ, the one who is God in the flesh, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, even over death itself, the one with all power, which is why when Jesus says these words, "Do not be afraid," it actually means something. It means something. Because it's only those with real power that can say these words meaningfully. Do not be afraid. Let me give you an example of why you need real power to be able to say, "Do not be afraid," and for it to mean something. For example, imagine this. Imagine if you're going for a swim. You're up on holidays up in Townsville, and for some reason you decide to go for a swim in a nice little creek. You know, so you're out there and you're enjoying yourself. And all of a sudden, you see something moving off in the water in the distance, and you peer at it, and what do you see? Well, you see a saltwater croc coming right at you, and you're terrified. You must be terrified. Of course you are terrified. You're scared. You're like, what do you do? What am I going to do? But luckily for you, I'm there, all right? Lucky for you, I'm there. I have no knowledge of crocodiles whatsoever. I'm a very weak swimmer, and I say to you, don't worry, guys. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Everything will be okay. Do you think they'll provide any reassurance to you whatsoever? I think you'll be even more terrified because I think if I got in that water, then there'll just be two people getting eaten instead of one. It wouldn't be much help. But imagine as you're trying to wildly get away from this crocodile, right? A boat pulls up and you see someone standing on the front of this boat and you peer up and who do you see? You see some, you know, he's got messy blonde hair. He's got a cheeky grin on his face. He's wearing tight khaki shorts and yes, it's Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, the most experienced man to have ever encountered crocodiles in his life. You know, the one who knows more about crocodiles than anyone else, right? And he looks at you, or he looks at the croc first probably, and he says, "Oh, crikey, she's a beauty." And then he turns to you and he says, "Don't worry, mate, do not be afraid, you'll be okay." And then he jumps into the water like a crazy person, wrestles a croc, and then you get out of the water. Me saying don't be afraid and Steve Irwin saying don't be afraid in that situation are very different things, right? Because one of us actually has the power to do something about it, right? Which is why when Jesus Christ says, do not be afraid, it actually means something. And it's so much more than having some wildlife knowledge or physical, you know, physical experience or power or things like that. Jesus is God, right? He's more than human. Yeah, he's power over life and death itself. He's risen from the grave. He offers eternal life. He has power. He has authority, which means if you are with him, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Because Jesus has power, because Jesus is in control, we don't have to be anxious. We don't need to fear. Instead, we can have peace and hope. Doesn't that sound good? Peace and hope. If you come to Jesus, this is what it means. With Jesus, you don't have to fear the future. So much of our life, actually, if you really think about it, is centered around building security in our lives, security for the future, just in case something happens. Our education, our work, our homes, our bank accounts, and we worry about the same for our kids. We want a secure future for them, okay? And of course, there's something good about that. We have to be wise with what God gives us. We have to plan, but here's the reality. Nothing in this world is ever secure. Nothing in this world is ever secure. We're just another pandemic or recession away or war away from everything being turned upside down. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Here today, gone tomorrow. How about our health? Who knows when something will hit us that will completely change everything, right? I'm aging. Yeah, I know I still look youthful, but I just turned 40 recently. And, you know, it's that time where you just wake up and you're injured for some reason. I don't know if anyone's experienced that. Yeah, there's some nods. Chris Lawrence, I see you nodding, mate. Our bodies are breaking down, right? No matter how much dieting, jogging, or gym sessions we hit, we could be here today and gone tomorrow. But in Christ, we can find real security for the future. Because of the death of Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, his resurrection from the dead to give us new life, everything changes. Because the promise, the certain promise for those that are with him is that we'll never, it's not this, it's not that we'll never suffer or have a hard time or have a hard, you know, that everything will be perfect in life. That's not what the Bible tells us. The promise is this, that Jesus says to us, I've prepared a room in heaven for you. I've prepared a room in heaven for you. This is not some dodgy Airbnb owner who's going to cancel at the last minute. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's paid for that room with his death. It's secured. It's in his house. The Lord of the universe is keeping it safe for us. Nothing will ever, ever change that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is from Romans 8, which says that nothing, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's no uncertainty here, right? There's nothing insecure here. It means this, that even if everything in our life is taken away from us, and let's be honest, it could be at any point, we can still be the richest people in the world if we have Jesus. Because when you have Jesus, you have everything. Everything. When you have Jesus, you have life to the full. That's what he promises. Life to the full for eternity. A future hope of no more suffering, no more pain, no more death, only rejoicing with your God. Friends, with Jesus, you don't have to fear the future. Also, with Jesus, you don't have to fear failure. Alongside our desire to be secure, I think one of our biggest human desires is to be accepted, right? Isn't that true? Just to be accepted. We feel a lot of pressure to perform, to do well in our studies, our jobs, be successful in our work, be amazing parents. We strive for all these things. Why? Well, if we're honest with ourselves, oftentimes it's not even for ourselves. It's for others. It's so that those around us might think well of us, that those around us might finally say to us, well done, I'm proud of you, you're amazing. So we can have the approval of our colleagues, our friends, our parents. And we live so much of our life actually in fear of what others might think of us. But here's the thing. We can work harder and harder to achieve. We can listen to more self-improvement podcasts, watch more productivity videos, take more courses, whatever it is, but we aren't perfect. We're not, which means we will fail, and we will fail often. We will disappoint people often. But Jesus says something revolutionary to us about that. He says, that's okay. That's okay. He says, I don't need you to be perfect. In fact, that's why I came for you, because you need help. Yes, you have failed, but this is not who you are. He says, come to me, and I will give you a new identity, one of a beloved Son of God. He says, I don't need you to prove yourself to me. I don't need you to impress me. I don't need you to earn my love. I give you that as a free gift. It's free. Friends, on that cross, Jesus took all our failures, our guilt, our shame, our mistakes. He took them on himself. These things are done with. They're gone. They're wiped out. And through the resurrection, he gives us not only a secure future hope to come, but a secure identity right now. A secure identity as a child of God that is dearly loved, no matter what we have done or what we haven't done. This is the truth that will set us free from the fear of failure. Knowing that we are worthy, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us, what he has done for us. And this is good news, isn't it? This is why we celebrate today. This is why we celebrate, not just today, actually, but every single day. Every day is a celebration. Because Jesus Christ says to us these words, do not be afraid. If you've come today and you are afraid, if you look deep down, if there is anxiety and fear and worries just driving your life and everything that you do, and it's just getting exhausting, it's crushing, and you want to make a change, I'm so glad that you're here today, because Jesus offers you that. Jesus is saying to you this Easter, do not be afraid. Come to me, and you can have peace. Will you take the offer of this invitation? Let me pray for us all. Father God, we thank you for your generous blessings to us in all the physical things we have in this life. Living here in a blessed country like Australia, we just give you thanks. But we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who deals with our most biggest need, our deepest need, our hearts, who gives us satisfaction and joy and contentment and peace, who takes away anxiety and fear. And we pray for all of us, many of us, most of us who have fear and anxiety in our hearts, that today we'll be able to come and lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ and accept this wonderful offer he gives us of real peace, real rest, real joy. Thank you, Father God, for being a God that loves us so much and gives us so much. May we be willing to humble ourselves and admit that we need help, and may we be able to accept this gift. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.